think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there.
Our brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. Most people want to get going. And the idea of get thinking doesn't seem like you're getting going.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, the psychology of thinking versus doing.
In fact, there's all this evidence on these two modes. I mean, I always call them the thinking mode and the doing mode. They have the psychology literature has longer names for those. But basically, right, I mean, we even have metaphors for that. Well, you know, let's move forward versus let's take a step back for a second. And these actually reflect different motivational states. And the problem is if you don't put yourself in the doing mode, or if you put yourself in the doing mode when you should be thinking, then you don't actually contemplate the consequences of the actions. You just move forward. And life is all about that trade-off between thinking and doing, where you want to think but not overthink.
Yeah.
And you want to do but not do hastily.
I think certainly different kinds of problems create different levels of immediacy, right? I mean, there are some things where you do have to act and you don't have time to. But, you know, it's funny. This sort of is related to what we're talking about. You know, I work with a lot of people who are trying to teach other people to do something. And what I see as the greatest inhibitor of the learners being successful at what they're trying to do is a lack of patience. It's not a lack of intellectual capacity. It's not a lack of physical dexterity or skill. It's a lack of patience. And if you think about doing anything that you really care about, you know, like you're holding a needle and you're going to put a piece of thread through a needle. You think about what you do when you do that, if you really want to do it. You know, you're quiet. You might even hold your breath for a moment. You're still and you try to do that thing and get that thread through that eye of that needle. That kind of concentrated quiet is something that many people just, well, let's just get going. Let's just go. What are we talking about anymore? And that's what Art was referring to a minute ago, where you think I'm ready to do when actually you're not ready to do yet.
Yeah.
You know,
and one of the personality characteristics that we've talked about before on the show is this idea of need for closure, and the need for closure scale was actually developed in part to measure habitually or chronically, are you more in the doing mode or the thinking mode? So people who are high in need for closure, who need to get stuff done with, they live in the doing mode. They want to get stuff done all the time. And the people who are low in need for closure, they don't want things to finish. They live in that thinking mode. They want to just keep contemplating this more and more. So as a personality characteristic, there are individual differences in where people live. And then there are situations, as Bob was saying, that create that. So when somebody yells duck, no matter how much in the thinking mode that you live in, you don't go, well, let me contemplate why I might want to, do that. There are times when no matter how much of a thinking mode person you are, you need to do. And, you know, for very big kinds of decisions, even somebody who's really locomotor oriented, who has that real doing need, may still be willing to take a step back and say, let's not be too hasty.
Yeah. Yeah. And in all the times when there are decisions that have potentially high consequences, the people who have a need for closure, who want to say, I just want to get on with it, they're made anxious by waiting. And one of the things that, whether it's a high-pressure sales thing, and I just don't want to pick on just car dealers. I mean, this happens all over the place. But I mean, somebody who's getting somebody to do something because they're sort of, as the person feels it, is being pressured to do it. To give people tangible things to do that are incompatible with the thing that the person who's pressuring you wants you to do. Like, for instance, you say, I'm going to go drive a car, and I don't care what somebody says to me, I'm not buying the car today. You know, and you stick to that. You say, okay, I'm not going to buy the car today. I don't care if there are 9 people buying it, ready to buy it. I'm not going to buy the car today. Now, that puts you in a different doing place. It seems like you're not doing something. You're waiting. But no, you've made an active decision that you're going to leave without signing anything.
You know, and there are group factors as well.
Yeah, of
that
course,
situation
right.
is both the world as it is in this moment, which may require action or not. But then there's also the group mentality. And so we've all been in situations, for example, in which, you know, the group seems to be rushing headlong towards a decision, and you're sitting there thinking, wait, I think there's something we haven't contemplated yet. And it can be very difficult to overcome that group move into that doing mode.
Yeah.
And so how can you do that? It's funny. I one of the classes I was teaching this semester, as an example of deliberation, I had the students watch 12 Angry Men. Mm-hmm. And the fascinating thing about that movie is there's a jury that comes in where 11 members of this 12-member jury are convinced of the guilt of the defendant. And one person isn't, and he is really ultimately is actually quite convinced the guy's not guilty, and ultimately convinces the entire jury that he's not guilty. The jury has a very high need for closure when they enter at the beginning of the movie. They want to just vote and go home. And so they want to act, and part of what he's doing throughout the part, this is Henry Fonda who plays the juror number 8 in this movie. Part of what he's doing is just trying to manage the need for closure.
Yeah.
He does a really nice job of creating more space for discussion and contemplation, yeah, until things start going in his direction, at which point he then, the group begins to apply more pressure to do, but now by voting not guilty. And yeah, so there's a really fascinating tension there. And it's a great use of literature or fiction as a demonstration of these kinds of techniques. I mean, mm-hmm, one of the nice things about being able to read fiction is as we've talked about in some past shows, is it sometimes allows you to put yourself in a world that you don't currently inhabit.
Right. I mean, one of the things that the liberal arts has the potential to cultivate in a human being is a tolerance for ambiguity. And the ability to delay closure. I mean, to be able to say and mean it, I really don't know, is a powerful thing. And what's interesting about putting yourself more in whatever mode you tend not to be in, so you're more optimal in your mode choosing, right, is to have tangible behavior that is incompatible with the behavior you're trying to not fall prey to.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of curiosity with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. You can subscribe to the podcast of Two Guys on Your Head on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, and check out the new book, Brain Briefs, where Art and Bob take on a variety of topics across psychology. Get your copy wherever books are sold. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.